Yeah, I'm glad he found me. He don't do it just halfway, you know. He don't find you and dry you off and throw you back in. He gets you and dries you off, puts you on a new set of clothes, and takes you to the other side. You can't beat him this morning. You can't beat him. That's good. Good song, good singing this morning. Well, we got a good Savior. I have a request. I'd like for you to write this down in case you can't be here tonight. If y'all remember Byron Fox, that led to singing when we had our crusade, Byron Fox, great guy. His wife had passed back in January, and then his daddy passed Tuesday, and he buried him Friday. And now he is taking care of his 92-year-old mother. He's got a load upon him, and that's a lot when you ain't got no help. And so why don't you pray for Brother Byron. All right, Brother Byron Fox. All right. Well, we've had a good week. It's been a good week. We've enjoyed the Lord, and I tell you, there's so many people that need the Lord. I don't know. You don't have to go far to find somebody to witness to. I was reminded Thursday, and I'm not going to preach about this right now, but I just want to give it to you as well. I was reminded Thursday in our college class that if you're not fishing, you're not following. Jesus said, I will make you fishers of men. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. So if you follow, you'll be fishing. So if you ain't fishing, you ain't a follower. So I want to bring it to your attention that you might see whether or not you're fishing or not. Because if you ain't fishing, if you ain't following the Lord, wonder who you be following. Good thought, ain't it? That'd be a good message, but I won't give it to you this morning. And that's just one of them thinking things, all right? Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. If we can, we'll just encourage you a little bit this morning and want to magnify the Lord and enjoy the Lord. I'm glad that He still saves sinners. I'm glad that people will still come to Him. And it's just, you just can't beat the Lord. Been several saved around this week. As we said there Wednesday, we was up to see Brother Mike Long, hear him preach Tuesday, and up at Little Union, had two saved Monday, two saved Tuesday, and so it's been a good week seeing people come into the family of the Lord, and I don't know if you're truly saved or not. Just because you come to church don't mean nothing. Well, it means something, but it don't mean you're saved. That's not proof that you're saved because you go to church. But I wonder, seriously this morning, are you truly saved? Are you Bible saved this morning? I mean truly saved. You know that you've passed from death into life. You know that Christ has come in, made a change. He changed your mind, changed your heart, changed your mind, changed your direction. Do you know that? I mean, you know that for sure, that there's no doubt in your mind. There's a lot of things I don't know, a lot of things, but there's three things that I do know. I do know that I'm saved. I do know it's forever. And I do know that He's called me to preach. Now, I know them three things. Now, I may not be able to find my way home this afternoon, but I do know them three things. But do you know that? I mean, we preach and we invite you and we try to give you scripture, but can we just talk like we're family here? Just are you truly Bible saved? I mean, ain't no doubt in your mind. You know that if Christ would come, that you're going to go to spend eternity with Him. That if you would die with a heart attack, you know, people die in church. You know, because a lot of dead people go to church anyway, but people die in church. Larry Gothard used to pastor up at the Olive Branch up in Eddy, and he's an old preacher up there, Tony Collins. I know Tony for years, and And he was standing testifying, standing at the front bench testifying about the grace of God, and said, "I'm going to heaven one day. I'm going to heaven." And he looked at Larry and smiled and went to heaven. Standing right there testifying on the front bench of Olive Branch Baptist Church. But I'd love to go that way. That'd be exciting. Wouldn't that be exciting? Come to church and go home. Huh? You never know what's going to happen at church. But and when Tooney testified, it was like fourth gear of preaching. And he just touched the bench and home we went. Man, what if you would go like it today? What if you would die today? Would you go to heaven? Seriously. So, well, you baptized me. Well, I don't mean nothing. You prayed with me. Don't have nothing to do whether I prayed with you for you or not. Have you repented of your sins, of self and sin, and believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, trusted Him completely as your Savior? Have you this morning? If not, you need to really consider it. If you don't know for sure He's changed you, you need Jesus today. Think about that. All right? Let's pray together. Father, I come. You're so wonderful to us. And Lord, I thank You for this being so good. Thank You for being You. And thank You for pitying me as a father does his child. Remembering I'm but dust. Lord, I'm not much. But Lord, You saw fit to save me. You made me something that I could have never made myself. Lord, You made me fit. And Lord, You've imputed Your righteousness. And though I'm no good, Lord, You live inside. Thank You. Thank You for finding me. Thank You for looking for me like that little lost lamb. I sure do appreciate You. Now, Lord, help me to preach. Speak to every heart. May we glory in Christ this morning. And we're going to praise You and thank You. In Jesus' name, I ask all this. Amen. This week, Miss Cheryl was going up the road, I think maybe going to Phillips, and she plays her phone through the radio, however she does that. And we was listening to a song, I don't know, sometime this week, and it was the song was Paint My Mind. That was the song. It was an old song of Rusty Goodman. And the song, I'm not going to sing it or nothing, but the song, the gist of the song was Paint My Mind with Calvary. And everything that happened on Calvary and what You took from me, and paint my mind, just let my mind be a canvas and paint it on there that when I look out, that I see how great You was to me. And that's the gist of the song. Well, after, we had a good time in the car. We was enjoying the Lord. And it got a little foggy in there. And it's been on my mind all week long. Everywhere I've read, I seem like I've read about the cross and study for Wednesday, and I can't stay out of Colossians reading about the cross. They go to Ephesians about the cross. They go to the Gospels. I look on the calendar and it's almost Easter, and I think about the cross, and then I hear the song again. Then we sing about Blessed Redeemer. Everything. My mind has been on the cross, and I thought I've enjoyed this week. I want my mind painted with the scene of Calvary, with what Christ has done for me, that I might magnify His name more because of how good He's been. God is good in the fact that He gives us jobs and houses and money and food. That's all wonderful. That's good. But can I tell you, He does that to lost people too. He gives lost people jobs and houses and food and clothing, and they don't know Him from Adam. They don't have a clue who the Lord is. And they think because they have the same thing everybody else, well, I must be saved. Well, that's not true. Okay? The Bible teaches that He reigns on the just and the unjust. The same same rain. Your grass grows if you're lost, or your grass grows if you're saved. That ain't got nothing to do with salvation. But can I tell you, when you think about what He's done for you on the inside, of what you was and what you are now, of the change that He's made in your life, of the things you used to desire and want to do, that don't happen no more. That desire is not there. The want to is not there. That the things that you didn't think you'd ever find yourself doing, that's what you enjoy the most, of singing spiritual songs and psalms and hymns and things that speaks to you, that you notice the words of the song, that the Bible comes alive, that it's a joy to come to the house of God, to be around God's people. But then you think about what He done for you personally, that you're forgiven, that your sins are gone, that you do have an eternal home in heaven. When you get to thinking about all that, listen, it's real. It's real. And I want that painted on my mind about how big God is. When I have a bad day, and I got bad days like anybody else, but when I got a bad day, I'm not going to sit and sulk and think about how bad I got it, because I don't have it bad, even if I have a bad day. I got a bad day because I'm living in sinful flesh. And I'll have a bad day. And I may have a string of them. I may have a decade of them. But it ain't going to stay like that. For these light afflictions, these slight, light afflictions, does not compare to the weight of glory that awaits me. Now, I can focus on anything. I can focus on my hurt, or I can focus on my help. Because if I got hurt, there's definite help. Now, I choose to do that. And does that make me perfect? No, I just don't like to be sad. Now, you've seen me. It's rare that I'm not smiling. It's rare. It's rare that I ain't pulling something on somebody. I mean, it's rare. I like to have fun. I like to poke fun. I like to... I'm learning to be sarcastic. But I enjoy humor. I enjoy that. So when I have a bad day, I don't want to get down. I mean, whether it's physical or mental, I want to enjoy. But the only thing I can do truthfully to get out of that is to paint my mind with what Christ has done for me eternally. If I lose everything I got, what He's done for me eternally can never be taken away. Think about that. Think about that. And it is real this morning. It is real. Christ is real. All right? So let's look at Galatians, and I'm going to try to give you just a few thoughts this morning. Easter's coming up, and I'm looking forward to Easter. I'm looking forward to the world. You know, we had the World's Day last week. Last Tuesday was the World's Day, you know, April Fool's Day. But Easter, we can have a Christian day. And even though people don't believe on Him, they're going to acknowledge Him. I got a great blessing. I'm not a big shopper. I like to go to Royal King every now and then, Tractor Supply every now and then, Lowe's every now and then. I hate Walmart. I'd rather have a stomach bug as go to Walmart. But I like to go to them. And I seen something about Royal King. It really blessed my heart. They're closed Easter. They're closing up Easter because they said, we have a company that is founded on faith, and we're not letting none of our employees work on Easter, so they can be home with their families and go to church and go on Easter Sunday. And I thought, well, I'll probably just buy more stuff at Royal King than I used to just because of that. But I thought, see, we ought to glory in these things, all right? So let's look here at Galatians, and let me give you a few thoughts, all right? Verse 11, chapter 6, Galatians chapter 6, start at verse 11. The Apostle Paul is writing here to the churches in the region of Galatia, and it's being read. And it says here, you see how large a letter I have written to you with mine own hand. As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised. unless they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised, that they may glory in your flesh. Now, Paul just simply telling them here, if you just boil it all down, they ain't no need to do anything that you're going to glory of yourself on. It ain't what you do. It ain't got nothing in what you do, inside or outside. That's basically what he's saying there. But verse 14 says this: "But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature." I want to take a text this morning in verse 14. "But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ." If I can for a minute this morning, I want to preach to you just a few thoughts this morning on the glories of the cross. The glories of the cross. Just how great it is. Just how great it is what Christ has done for us. If I look up the word glory, the meaning says this: it's high renown or honor won by notable achievements. Well, I thought, well, that fits the cross, don't it? The glories of the cross, it's high renown or honor won by notable achievement. I believe if there's any notable achievements anywhere, it was done when Christ died on the cross. What do you think about that? I believe that's one of the glories. It said the glory meant a magnificence or great beauty. Can I tell you, they probably ain't nothing more magnificent than the cross of Christ. And though it may have been the cruelest picture you could ever paint, or the cruelest picture you could ever have in your mind or understand, probably nothing more beautiful than the cross of Christ. He goes on and says that glory is a thing that is beautiful or distinctive. Well, I don't believe there's another cross like it. I believe it's very distinctive. Could you agree to that? There ain't no cross like the cross of Christ. And then it says, a thing that is beautiful or distinctive, a special cause for pride, respect, or delight. Well, can I tell you, I'm not ashamed of the cross of Jesus Christ this morning. Now, I'm not prideful that it builds me up, but I take pride in knowing that the Creator died for the creation. And I take great pride in that. I think it's something. I think Christ dying for me and you was really something. How about you this morning? I know me and I know you, and I think it's really something that God would come down and put on a robe of flesh and die for me and you. I think that's really something. What do you think this morning? I don't think there's nothing like it. I don't think there's nothing to compare to it. I think Paul said, anything that can be done in the flesh, God forbid, if I glory in any other thing other than the cross of Jesus Christ. Think about that. That's what he said. And God forbid that I should glory save. That's only. That's what he means there. That I should glory save in the cross, only in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Think about that. Does it mean anything to you this morning? Does the cross mean anything to you? Now, I've been told that when you witness to someone, if you tell them about the cross first, they won't understand it until they understand they're a sinner. Well, I don't know that I can understand I'm a sinner to understand the cross. I think it's all together. You know, somebody tell me I'm no good. Well, that ain't nothing. Right? Somebody telling you ain't no account, that ain't nothing at all. But when I see that somebody loves me, wait a minute. When you start explaining how much somebody cares about you, and how much somebody loves you, and how much they'll pay for you, and what they'll give up, when you see that, then you start thinking, wait a minute, I ain't worth that. I'm not worth that. I ain't no way I'm worth somebody giving up all they have. And then you understand what you are, and you understand the price that was given. Then you can appreciate and glory the cross of Jesus Christ. Think about it. You know, people give me things all my life. They give me money. They give me tools. They give me vacations. They give me jobs. They give me all kinds of things. People give me things, knickknacks and whatnots, and all these little things, you know. But ain't nobody ever give all they have.
Right.
Nobody ever give all they have. Now I've known some rich people, what I would consider rich. And I've had rich people buy me lunch or buy me supper. That's good. I mean, that's wonderful. But I never did have a rich man give me all he had.
Right.
Never did do that. I've stayed at other people's homes. I stayed in hotels and resorts bought a cruise one time and given a vacation on a cruise and stayed in one of them cabins on the boat and all that was wonderful. But I've never had nobody give all they had and go build me a place of my own that I can spend eternity in and never use nails or boards but just use gold. I never had nobody do that. Have you ever had anybody do that for you? Think about that. Well, see, when I think about that, well, I'm not worth that. I lie, cheat, steal, blaspheme, gossip, do all these things. You commit adultery with your eyes. If you don't do it, you'll commit idolatry. Anytime you think less of God than what God is, it's idolatry. Be okay? We can do all that thing and then think that a God would go build me a place without boards and nails, but build it all out of gold. Somebody like me, it really is amazing what all he'll do. I've had people that will spend time come by and pray with me. I've had people that even ask me, what can I do for you? If you need somebody to talk to. And then I maybe call them and their phone was busy or they didn't answer. But I never once, not ever once, ever called on the one who died for me. I never called him and he said, "Can you? I'll put you on hold for a minute." I never heard him say, "Kids, be quiet. I can't hear Mark." I never heard him say that. I never heard him say, "Well, can I call you back? I'm busy right now." I've never had nobody do that. And when he's there all the time and he's faithful in every way for everything I need, everything, then I got to say, man, I'm not worth that. I'm not worth him putting off everything that they got to do to spend a little time. Who am I? But then I think, oh, but that's the way he does everybody. He's such a great God and such a great Savior, and he's given so much that if I'm going to glory, I want to glory in the cross and all that he's done for me this morning. Think about that. There ain't nobody like him. You can't beat him. Listen, if you're just learning, man, you ain't going to understand in a little while just how big he is. Huh? I mean, you can't beat him this morning. Am I worth it? I ain't worth it. Huh? I'm not. I'm not worth it. I'm too trifling to even hang. I don't need taking effort to even hang me. Don't waste the bullet on me. I'm not worth the powder and lead to blow me up. But God looked down and saw me and said, "Yes, you're worth everything to me."
Yeah.
Man, I think all this glory in the cross.
Yeah.
All glory. You know, glory, when you look at it, when I glory in the cross, when I'm glory, not giving him glory, but when I glory in the cross, it's third person present speaking. You know that? That's how they in English. See, I might not speak English, but I do know English. All right. I speak American. All right. Ain't no English people down where we live. Huh? Are you hearing me? It's third person. It's me and it's Larry Mullen speaks in third person. I believe it. I think it's right. You understand? Larry, good man, Larry. You understand? And he's talking about himself. And that's what I'm going to glory in him. You understand what I'm telling you this morning? If you understand me, talk to me. Do you glory in the cross? Let me give you a few things this morning, can I? Everybody okay? When I think about the cross, and I think about the glories, plural. When I think about the glories of the cross, I start with the cross itself. Well, I was thinking, just sitting there last night and this morning, and I was just thinking about the cross, you know. I was up monthly yesterday making some visits, and I seen them, I don't know what them are. They it's bridge beams, I reckon what they are. They're longer than railroad ties. And it made me think of the cross. I've seen them big long cross. If you ever go to Muslim, just look over on the right side of the road. You'll see them stacked up over going toward the metal working place. And I've seen them big long beams. And I said, that looks like a cross beam. And I think about the cross, how simple that old wood cross was, that had to be wide enough to go across the man's shoulders, that his arms outstretched would be nailed to him, and tall enough that it would be an average-sized man would be able to stoop, and so much in the ground, so much up in the air. And I thought just how much a simple cross for a creator. What kind of cross would hold a creator? Well, it would be no metal cross. It was going to be something maybe the creator made himself. It would be the wood cross, would it not? That he planned out and made. And I thought of another song, Cheryl, that when Rusty Goodman sings, he's talking about creation. And he's, I think B.B. sung it there one day, and he's talking about creation, and he made man, and then he made a small, lonely hill. And then he made animals, and he made a small, lonely hill. And then he done this, but he had a small, lonely hill, because everything he done in Genesis was about that small, lonely hill at Calvary, where he was going to die for us this morning. It's an old, simple cross that the Creator, but all I thought, my, I'm going to glory in that cross that my Creator laid down. See, my Creator, the one who did speak the heavens and the earth into existence, the one who did take a handful of dirt and dust and make man, the one who reached in the side of Adam, put him asleep and pulled out a rib and made a woman and made a home and done all these things, that's the very one that come down and laid on a cross. They didn't force him to lay down. He said, I lay down my life. If I lay down my life, I have power to pick it up again. They didn't make him and beat him. And he went and he took him to the cross as he carried the cross. And then he went, when it come time to lay down, it was like making a bed. That he laid down and positioned himself and willingly, the Creator laid down my hands that created everything, if you would, and let him nail his hands. I think I'll just glory in that old simple wooden cross that God died for me on. Huh? This little simple cross. I think I couldn't help but think, if I'm going to think about the cross, I got to think about all that happened on the cross. So I got to think about the court. I go back and I look at the court and I see the fake trials and the cruelty of the scourging and the beatings. Now, I'm going to keep reminding, I'm going to preach another message on the cross next Sunday. But I want you to listen carefully. Do you understand that God allowed them to spit on him? You understand that, don't you? You understand that God put on a robe of flesh that he would look like me and you, all right, olive skin, he was a Jew, olive skin, all right, black hair, huh? His beard would have been black, his mustache would have been black, olive skin, he wasn't white American blue-eyed, he was a Jew. All right, he wasn't the best looking one. They said he was not. He was comely and was not one to be desired. He didn't make himself of no great beauty. He was God. He didn't have to because he was God. They reached up there and jerked his beard out of his face. Huh? He stood there and took it. He wasn't no weak man. It'd take a good man. I look back here, Dewey. Huh? So I went back here and grabbed hold of Dewey's beard and just pulled it all out. I doubt he'd sit there and let me. I doubt very seriously if he would. If I just pulled it all out, if I just got a hold of it and just jerked it all out and threw it in the floor, I bet he'd squall. He'd squall. Or C, maybe it wasn't long like Dewey. Maybe it was just scruff like Jason or R.C. and just pull it out. How would it feel when you get your razor caught in just one little hair? You flinch, huh? But to pull it all out and stand there and not say a word. I say when I look at the cross, how simple the cross was that the Creator would lay down on the cross. And I'm going to have to glory in that and think that's a magnificent achievement and a beauty and a pride thing. There's nothing any greater. But then I look at the court and see what he went through. When they would pull the beard out of his face and spit on him. Man, listen, I ain't never been spit on. I've had gravel kicked on me and rocks thrown at me and guns stuck in my belly on visitation. And I've had things like that, but I ain't never had nobody spit on me. I don't know how to handle that. It'd be tough. I mean, I wish God would give me grace, but there might be something that would well up inside of me that I wouldn't allow that. He never said a word. They took a rod, like a walking stick, that I used there for a while. Took a rod and beat him over the head, round the face, shoulders, the neck. Never said a word, just took it. Can you imagine how bad that hurt? Huh? You ever been cracked on the knuckles with a ruler or a pencil? But they beat him with a rod. To take a crown of thorns, they allowed that them thorns was an inch and a half to 3-inch spikes in them thorns. To make him weave a crown and to press it down upon his head. And how thin the skin is around your head and how tender it is when you just bump your head. And they beat it down on him. Never said a word. To put him on the scourging pole and beat him with the stripes with that scourge of him 9 pieces of leather coming apart and all the pieces of glass and bone in it and metal and to whip and jerk it back and pull his insides till his rib cage was exposed and around his back and belly to where his intestines would hang out between the bones of his ribs where he would be beat from the back of his head all the way down down his buttocks where he stood naked there to be laid down on a cross with the splinters and everything after he would carry it and the weight of it and then the nails and all that. And I think about the cord. I think, how wonderful that somebody loved me that much. Oh, I see I'm not worth that. I'm not worth any of that. But yet, he died for me. And he who knew no sin became sin for me. Oh, there ain't nobody like my Jesus this morning. Ain't nothing like the cross. And if I'm going to glory, I'm going to glory in the cross of Jesus Christ this morning. For he went from the cross then. Described the crucifixion with that. Oh, how awful. Huh? How awful. The crowd. Can you imagine the crowd? When I think about the cross, I think about the wood, I think about the court, I think about the crucifixion. Huh? I think about the crowd. If we would have Jesus die here, would you laugh? Would you laugh this morning? Huh? We've had the plays here. Had the plays and Jared back there stood behind the curtain and just the shadow of him on the cross brought me to tears that I couldn't even control my weeping sitting there in the pew and all I seen was a shadow, a picture. Huh? But they laughed and they scoffed and they mocked him. You mean the Son of God come down? They were so disrespectful that they gambled at his feet for his coat that had no seam in it. Huh? Oh, I wouldn't. I couldn't bring myself to gamble for anything. Fear that I would be in the same class of the people that gambled for Christ's clothes. I wouldn't buy a lottery ticket, play a pull board by chance, by raffle. I think it's all gambling myself. I think it's all sin. Used to be. Used to be. But I think it's just like, think about that. To holler and laugh. I think I'll glory. But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then I think of the crime. Wait a minute. He didn't commit one. He didn't commit a crime. He went to the cross and the crucifixion and went through the crowd and went through all that, but he never done nothing to deserve it. Wait a minute. Somebody loves me like that. Somebody loves you like that this morning. Huh? See, I understand and I'm nothing. I don't deserve that. I'm not worth that this morning. But I tell you what he's worth. He's worth me glorying in what he done. He's worth me glorying in his attitude. He's worth me glorying in all that he has done to bring me to him that I might spend an eternity with him. Ain't nobody like him this morning. I'm telling you, listen to me. Ain't nobody like Jesus this morning. And if you don't have him, you need him this morning. Ain't nobody like him. He loves you. Are you listening to me? He loves you this morning. And I just can't get over that. I read Galatians and I've been trying to teach you a little bit in Colossians. Can we go over to Colossians right now for just a minute? I'll try to hurry. I know I've been keeping you a long time on Sunday, but I'm not trying to. Listen to me. When I look at the cross and Paul wrote to the churches of Galatia and said, God forbid that I glory save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then I look at Colossians here in chapter 2. Can you read with me for just a little bit? Colossians chapter 2 and verse 13. It says, and you, wonder who he's speaking to. Huh? Wonder who he's speaking to. Anybody know? And you. And you. Hey, you. Hey, you. Hey, you. Hey, you. And you. That's who he's speaking to. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh. Look what he's done. Look what he's done for me. Can I tell you what he's done for me this morning? Has he quickened? He has made me alive. I was dead in sins and he's quickened me. Hath he quickened, it says, together with him. Look what he done. Everybody with me? Look on that last part of verse 13. Having forgiven you all trespasses. Did you know this morning that when you trust Jesus, he forgives you of all? He forgives you of all. All. Are you listening to me? All. All. It don't matter how little or how big, he forgives you of all. That's pretty good, ain't it? Oh, God forbid that I glory save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Huh? But see, then he explains how he done it. He tells you he done it in verse 13. Then he tells you in verse 14 how he done it. We okay? It says, verse 14, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us. Now you understand what all them are, don't you? See, all them trespasses that he forgives are the things that you done against God. of all the commandments that you broke. Of the commandments of God's before you and blaspheming, and then all of them down the list, you know. But you broke into the Ten Commandments, all of them. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. All them things right down, we know them, you know. They're right back there on the wall. We keep them on the wall back there. Everybody still with me? Now all of that, well wait a minute. It's everything you've done in breaking them. Huh? That means when you blaspheme, that means every time. That means when you gossip, every time. That means when you committed adultery, is every time. Every time you physically, mentally, it don't matter. Every time idolatry, every time, every time. And they built up, and they built up, and they built up. Are you still following me? Now that's all that you ever did. All that you were doing, and all that you would ever do. You understand that? Talk to me this morning if you understand me. He didn't just forgive you for the past. He forgave you for all. And it says here, and he blotted them out. That means, now listen, look what it says. Blotting out the handwriting of the ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us. That was our lostness. How lost, as I preached the other Sunday, how lost we was. Huh? It says, contrary to us, and he took it out of the way. Wait a minute. He didn't just rub it out. But he took the folder in the courtroom of heaven where everything was wrote down on how guilty I was. That he came in and stamped it all paid. Folded the folder, took it out of the courtroom where nobody could find it. Are you following me? He blotted it. You know what he done with? He went down there and laid it in the hand. This is what the Father did. He blotted it out. He stuck it in the hand of the Savior and ran the nail through it as he nailed it to the cross. So God forbid that I glory save in the cross of Jesus Christ. Are you listening to me? Huh? Does that excite you any at all? Huh? Think about that. I always think of Kay Kincaid. When I think about the cross and nailing to the cross, I don't know if y'all know Kay Kincaid or Eddie and Kay Kincaid over at Mount Lookout. Kay was from Boone County. And she was testifying about when she understood she was safe forever. And she was standing there in a church house and was tickled to death that she was saved forever. And she said, I couldn't get over when we used to go to the company store down there in Boone County. And she said, we'd buy our stuff and it would always be a bill. And we used to get groceries like that over at Edmond when I growed up over at Woody Hatcher's store. And they'd run a bill and they put it on them little tags, you know, and then they stick it in the folder. And you owed that. And I remember we go, me and Cheryl was married, and Margaret was little. We go over and we charge her groceries this week, and then we pay for 2 weeks' groceries next week. And that's how we got our groceries. All right? So didn't have money each week anyway. And then when we paid it, then Maxine always put it in a different drawer because it was paid. But Kay said that when they done it down there where she went, she said they'd run the bill and the bill would be over in the folder. She said they might have to go 2 or 3 weeks and the bill's over and they'd add to it. And that's the way our life was before we knew the Lord. Every day it was just being added to the bill of every thought and every deed and every word and everything left undone. That's how it was. He said, but when Daddy paid the bill, said the man that run the store would take it, and he had a long nail that stuck up from the counter, and he'd take that paid bill and stick it over that nail, and that was the paid part. And she said, when I understood that's what Jesus done for me, she said, I understood it was forever. Can I tell you this morning, when he nailed it to the cross, everything that I owed, he took it and pushed it over the nail, and everything it amounted up, he forgave me of it all, of the past, he forgave me of the present, and he forgave me of it of the future. Hallelujah. For the cross of Jesus Christ this morning. And God forbid that I glory save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. That ain't all. That ain't all. We can't leave 15 out. Verse 15 says, and. Well, what in the world else could he do? Huh? Have you? Oh, I love my every word Bible. He said he has forgiven you all your trespasses. Verse 13. Verse 14 says he blotted out the handwritings of ordinance that was against us, which was contrary to us, took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross, and it just keeps getting better and better. Look what he done. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. In what? In the cross. In the cross. That's what he triumphed over. The cross wasn't defeat. The cross was victory. He didn't lose nothing at Calvary. He won everything at Calvary. He pleased the Father. But can I tell you what else he done? He didn't just satisfy the Father. But there's an old booger that beats us to death. Even since we got saved. Is that not true? Y'all ever have an old booger beat y'all to death called Satan? Old Slewfoot, old Lucifer, that old liar. Yeah. Huh? He, I don't know about y'all, but some days he wears me out. Huh? He wears me, cows me down. You ever been cowed down? Talk to me this morning. You ever been cowed down and you hang your head? Huh? We are not.
You're right.
You know why? Because he put him in his place. See, the devil didn't make me lost. I was lost because I offended God. But boy, he sure has irritated the life out of me. Huh? He's been my man. What's it say here? It says here, and having spoiled principalities of power. Well, the Bible says, as Satan is the power, prince and power of the air, that we are, our battles are not flesh and blood, but again, principalities and powers and strongholds and these things in high places and darkness. We do have an enemy. Well, can I tell you, he didn't just go and forgive you, but he took care of the enemy that wallowed you to death. I just want you to know this morning that if you're saved, you're living in victory this morning. You don't have to hang your head. You don't have to give place to the devil, but you're living in victory because of the cross. Huh? Think about that. They said it in the Romans would go and they'd conquer, and this is what all this is referring to. And they later would paint pictures of the story. They'd engrave them on rocks and on stones and portraits, and they would tell the story of the battle that was fought and won by the conqueror. And the king would go out and conquer. And then when he come back, artists would draw all this. And they said that when some of the kings, and I can name some of them, starts with an A, I can't pronounce the name, I'd have to go back and look it up. But they one of them especially was Roman Alexander all back during that day, that they'd come in and here come the king. When the king come through, he was in his chariot and he was dressed in his purple robe and all was gold and glitter, and it would come through, and the people was on scaffolds, and they was applauding, and they knew he was coming, so they'd build up stands along the street. Here he come. And as he come through, openly parading through, here come the whipped king that he conquered, with his head hung, dressed in black. And there would be him and all his generals. They would be the people that he conquered. They would be screaming for mercy, looking to the people for mercy, but the people had all their eyes on the king of Kemptah. Then they would look at the spoils, and there would be all the spoils of the defeated king. And then there they would come through, and then they would take that conquered king, and they would parade him right up to the execution place, and they would execute him, and the people would cheer as he was executed where he come from. And that's what happened here. And paint the picture of Calvary. And there, the battle. Now, it wasn't fighting for our salvation. It just says that he spoiled principality. Are you listening to me? No longer. What does the Bible say? For God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and a sound mind. He saves us. He don't give us no spirit. We don't have to hang our head at the enemy now. Now, I can't fight him by myself, but I don't have to hang my head around him.
Right.
I always remember what Marvin Smith said about the devil and us. I'm outside in the yard playing, and the boy up the street comes through and jumps on and said, I'm not going to be too scared because Daddy's sitting on the porch. Huh? And that's the way it is. He's sitting in heaven with his feet on the earth as his footstool, and the enemy can come by if he wants, but I'm okay because he's sitting on the porch watching for me. And he spoiled principalities and powers all because of the cross. Satan don't have no power on you when you come to Jesus. Are you hearing me this morning? See, we say, well, the devil's fighting. Well, the devil ain't omnipresent. There ain't but one of them. He ain't God. He ain't as strong as God. And he ain't everywhere. The devil ain't everywhere. If the devil's fighting you, then he ain't fighting me. One of the imps might be. But I'm so bad, I don't even need the devil. I can fight myself and do more damage. Huh? Does everybody understand that? Everybody look at me. You understand that the devil ain't on the same level?
Yes, sir.
You understand? You understand he's one created being.
Yes.
Does everybody understand that? And he was defeated when he failed.
Yes.
You understand that?
Yes.
The sentence just ain't come through yet.
Right.
It's not been pronounced. It just ain't been executed. Does everybody listen to me this morning?
Yes.
Well, you ought to look happier than you do.
Yeah.
You ought to be a little bit more excited of it than you are to know that you're living in victory.
Yeah.
Huh?
Amen.
Are you hearing what I'm telling you?
Yes, sir.
Listen, if a fella that's after me is done got whooped, I'm not going to stand in here and chew my fingernails off because he's coming.
Yeah.
Huh? Is everybody following me?
Yeah.
I don't know that you're getting it yet. Huh? If you can't glory in the cross, then I don't know what you're going to do. We still okay? All right, I'm trying to quit. Christ satisfied God, and he went ahead and smacked the devil for it. How's that? Is that okay? He satisfied God. And went ahead. You're done. You're done. Get off his back. Huh? And he took everything he had in his pocket. He spoiled him. Huh? He's the prince of this world. He took everything he had. He don't have nothing. You're worried about a live pauper. Are you hearing me this morning? That's what you do. You worry about the devil. You're worried about a lying pauper. He don't have two nickels to rub together. I got the King of Glory. Huh? I just want to glory a little bit in the cross. Here, I'll go to piano. I'm going to quit. I can preach for hours and hours and hours. Hey, can I read you this little bit of scripture real quick? Because, Clark, you get us. Jesus paid it all just as I am. I don't care. One of them two. Is everybody still with me this morning? Open your Bible to 1 Timothy. Maybe, just maybe, somebody might want to say amen. I don't know if you can or not. I think you're overwhelmed with everything. It's what it is. That was being sarcastic. 1 Timothy chapter 1. How about verse 12? Everybody there, say amen if you're there.
Amen.
Hey, I wonder if you can say amen if it's going to help you any. It says, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for he counted me faithful, putting me in the ministry. Who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious. But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. How be it for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all long suffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him the everlasting. Does that help you any at all? How about Titus chapter 3? We okay? Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3. How about verse 3? For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish. Can I get amen right there? Disobedient. Right there. Deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures. Talk to me, living in malice. Talk to me in envy. Talk to me, hateful and hating one another. But hallelujah for conjunction. But after that, After all that, my thunder, after all that filth and fighting and shame and sin, after all that, what's it say? That the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appear. Not the works of righteousness we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing and regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which is shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. My, God forbid that I glory save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. I think I'll just enjoy what He's done. How about you this morning? I read over in Acts 26, Paul's testifying to Agrippa, Festus, and he said, when I was but a youth, I started this. That's how he started. Go back there and read. He said, when I was but a youth, I started doing these things against Jesus when I was but a youth. And I continued and became a murderer, doing things contrary to Jesus. Doing things contrary to the name of Jesus. That he was imprisoning people and killing people and was enjoying it. Then a light from heaven shone round about. And he met Jesus. And he said, oh King, these things wasn't done in secret either. And everybody knows what I was. And everybody knows what I am now. I know what I was. And I know what I am. Can I tell you, it's only because of Christ. Not many things. Let me ask you, has the Lord made that difference in your life? Are you saved this morning? Have your sins been forgiven? Has He took what was against you and nailed it to the cross and blocked it out of the way? Are you free this morning? If not, won't you come to Jesus? Let's stand right now. Father, speak to us. Help us. We sure do need you. In Jesus' name. Let's sing right now, Father. 280.